What's happening, you beautiful human beings? Welcome back to another block party. It is 7 o'clock Tuesday night here in the UK, and this is what we get stuck into on a week-by-week basis, all powered by the lovely boys at Block Cassett. I'm Adam Cattrall. Pleasure as always to be in your company. We've got an action-packed show lined up for you this evening. A couple of stellar guests from the world of mixed martial arts come to join us, and a little bit of news, because next week we are going on the road and we want you to come with us. We'll tell you all about how you can get involved and come and watch Block Party live in London a little bit later on in the show. If this is the first time that you ever come to the Block Party, make sure it is not the last. We want you to become a member of our incredible community. You can do it various ways by following us on all different social media platforms, whether that be Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. Get stuck in searching out for Block Cassett. You can also subscribe to us here on this YouTube channel, Block Cassett. Very, very simple. Hit the subscribe button. You'll never miss out on any of the content that we're churning out on a week-by-week basis. And then the most important one is join the Discord, because that is where the majority of conversations go on a week-by-week basis, where people are talking sports, they're talking crypto, and they are talking NFTs. And there's also a Discord podcast, which goes out every single Wednesday. And tomorrow night, we've got a special guest. I'll tell you about him joining Rusty and the guys in the Discord podcast a little bit later on in the program. However, without any further ado, I think it's only fair that I bring my mate into the show. He's fresh from Centre Court Wimbledon. He's been playing a little earlier on today. Here he is, looking fresh as it comes. Look at the boy there, Rafael Pete. Looking good, mate. Branded up there.
Thank you very much. In the spirit of Wimbledon, I thought I'd go all white today. As you can see, got myself a Pimm's, got myself some nice strawberries as well.
Looking
love it.
Good, mate. Looking good. Exciting times, because we are out and about on the road next week. They are taking us out of our sheds and our basements, and they are putting us in front of a live audience, of which hopefully people watching this stream are going to come and join us and have a little bit of fun. Word is, ladies and gentlemen, Nick Pete's put his hand in his wallet. That's right. The moths are off, and he's put it behind the bar, and he's going to sort a few beers out for everybody. What's going on, Nicholas? Eh? You shelling out on the gang?
It's not just a few beers, might have a few nibbles as well. Like, listen, I haven't been out of this potting shed in a long time. So London next week is going to be pretty special. And it's going to be nice to do the 12th episode of Block Party live and unleashed from a sky bar near you. And even though we're on, 7 till 8.30, I've got a feeling we could be rocking into the wee small hours come next Wednesday morning, brother.
Anybody knows when Nick's out and about in the build-up to a UFC London, it does get messy. So if you are with us next week, and again, I'll tell you in a minute how you can be involved in that, it could be a long night. So make sure you bring your drinking boots. Let's just call it that. Mm-hmm. Coming up on the show tonight, we've got a good one, because at the weekend, you will have seen in the co-main event in Las Vegas at the Apex, Caio Barbalho with a fantastic victory, cementing his place in the middleweight division, Brazilian middleweight in the UFC. Kyle's going to be joining us on the show a little bit later on. And we're also going to be speaking to the man behind SBG Island. That's right. The one, the only, Mr. John Kavanagh will be joining us on the show as well. We'll be talking to Cav about all things that he's getting up to. A stellar lineup in his gym. And of course, that fella, you know who, the notorious one. We'll have a little bit of a chat about that a little later on. Now, there's been some groundbreaking news this week, actually, from the lovely guys here at Block Cassett. And one of those pieces of groundbreaking news, mate, is that Block is now the easiest crypto to buy. Apple Pay, GPay, MasterCard, Visa, any way, shape or form you can get your hands on Block, it is the easiest crypto to purchase. In fact, I'm going to show you how easy this is to purchase, because Lerone Murphy this week, right, is going to demonstrate to you how easy it is to get your hands on some Block. Watch this guy.
You can now buy Block token through Apple Pay. Look how simple it is to do. Done. Simple, quickest way. So you got to buy that Block to be getting that miracle token. Any other token you want, you got to buy the Block first. So all you have to do, export. Add wallet. And paste your address into here. Simple. Done. Boom, look how simple that was. Took 2 seconds, easy work, straight into my Phantom account. While I'm here, look at my Rooney NFT. Been a big fan of Rooney all my life. Sick. Look at the detail of that. Jeez.
Buy Block now to take part in the athlete token revolution. Block Asset, connecting fans with athletes.
One of the hottest UK talents in the whole of mixed martial arts, not just the UFC, Laurent Murphy, demonstrating how easy it is to buy Block. And I like the way that he chucked in there, Nick, as well. The miracle token. You see, just letting people know what's coming. I think there'll be a few people investing in the miracle token, and you'll probably be one of them, pal.
Yeah, 100%. And just to make it show everyone how easy it is, even I bought some Block earlier today using that exact video. It is literally that easy. Blockasset.co. And it just gives you exactly straightforward, dead simple how to buy that Block. But yeah, listen, why would you want to buy Block? Simply world-class, some of the best NFTs out there. The Nebraska artwork is just unreal. More than anything, the athlete tokenization revolution is coming. And it's people like Laurent Murphy, undefeated superstar, looked incredible since he came into the UFC on Fight Island, made Fight Island his own, let's be honest. And his journey is just something very special. And Laurent is one of those guys with the talent, the ability, and the mindset. And it seems destiny as well. The guy cheats death like a cat. But he's got this, you feel like with Laurent, he's been put on the planet for a reason. And I think his reason is mixed martial arts. If you get in now and start getting, as he calls it, the miracle token, then you get to play an instrumental part of his journey all the way to gold in the UFC. Come on, man. He doesn't want to be a part of that. I know I do.
He was obviously just showing off his NFT collection there. I noticed that it was a Wayne Rooney NFT in the Man United shirt. Are you fully, were you aware that he was a Man United fan, mate, with you being a big red?
Yeah, listen, I put club. I'm old and mature enough now to be able to put football club rivalry to one side for more important things, and violence is more important, in my opinion. So okay. if I love a fighter, I can get on board with the fact that he's got horrific football tastes, as long as he delivers for me inside the ring or the octagon. So yeah, I'm cool with it.
Listen, I know
he can't be perfect, can he?
I know that recently your lads, and I know that we've had Trent on the show recently. Obviously, he's got Premier League winners medals, he's got Champions League winners medals, Super Cup winners medals, but he hasn't got a Bangkok Super Cup winners medal, has he, mate? You know what I mean? Eh? Man United looking like they're coming steaming back today. Did you see that? Yeah. Little 4-0 out in Bangkok doing the bits.
Yeah, no. I'm waiting to see the video of Rio Ferdinand banging on the desk. Let Ten Hag write his own contract. Let him stay as long as he wants. We'll see. We play Man United at Old Trafford early on in the season as well. I think it's a Monday night game. As long as we win that one, I couldn't give a damn about what happens in Bangkok, to be honest with you. But listen, nobody ever wants to lose, even if it is a friendly, especially not to your biggest rivals. But hey-ho, there we go. You didn't even watch it. I watched it, and Liverpool could have been 3-0 up in the first 20 minutes.
Why are you watching pre-season friendlies? That's hardcore, mate. That's proper hardcore watching a pre-season friendly.
I'd rather watch Liverpool's pre-season friendlies than watch England in something called the Nations Cup or whatever nonsense that was at the end of the season. That, my friend, is a fact, even when we get beat.
There you go.
Okay. Although England's women, maybe we should talk about England's women on the show tonight.
Absolutely.
Because that performance last night was absolutely different class. I haven't seen an England team play like that since Emil Heskey was off front in Germany.
Giving it one of them. Go on, Emil. 5-1 and even Heskey scored. I tell you something, some of the football that got played in that first half was absolutely sensational. Little slide passes in between the centre half and the full back, cutting them open, cross. I'd say it was like watching a Peak City. It really was, mate. Absolutely magnificent football. Finished 8-0, didn't it?
It was something insane. Yeah, I've got to be honest, I didn't make it to the end, but I was impressed with what I'd seen. I like the big centre forward. I think her name was Smith or something, but she's a big old unit. But tell you not White, that's it. Not the most technical player, but fantastic at what she does. Holds the ball up really well. Nice
old
and
school.
Strong.
Old
proper
school.
Target woman, in this instance, a target woman. She was cracker. But compared to the way they played against Austria, which I thought was very poor, I thought they looked brilliant last night.
Look at you, you're getting carried away now, aren't you? Yeah, you're one of them dancing down the street saying it's coming on, aren't you?
For the women, yes. For the England girls, absolutely.
Now, they were fantastic last night. 8-0 victory. Nobody in the history of that tournament has been 6-0 up ever at half-time. And they absolutely carved their opponents to pieces. Yeah. Northern
they're,
Ireland.
They're a good side as well. Norway,
eighth
side.
Best in the world. Eighth best in the world, them lot, you know. Give them a right.
They were. Yeah.
Mm. Now then, shall we invite people to a party? What do you reckon? Yeah?
Absolutely.
Take a look at this. Look sharp, don't make me bring a pizza and get dark. Hear the bang, see the spark. Drop down, lay down, just drop down. Fix that, look sharp, don't make me bring a pizza and get dark. This time, next week, I won't be in my basement and he won't be in his shed. We are going to be at an iconic rooftop bar, let's say, in London, the capital of the UK, and we are going to be bringing this show. It'll look slightly different because we're all going to be in the same room together, but we're going to give you an opportunity to be in that room with us. As Nick has said, he's going to put his hand in his wallet. Food and drink is going to be flowing
shots around this room.
Well, you know, we'll have to try and stay corpus mentis to do the show for everybody else around the world that is watching it. But what we're going to do is our Block Burner event, which we do every single week here on the show. That is how you can enter for an opportunity to be with us live in person next week. So we're going to ask you tonight to burn 1,000 block burn. The first 50 people to burn will be guaranteed a ticket. The first 50 people guaranteed to be burn will be guaranteed a ticket, and it is one entry per wallet. All right, so don't be thinking to yourself, "I can burn 5 lots of 1,000 here." It's one entry per wallet. The lucky 50 will be airdropped an NFT to get into that venue with us and special guests next Tuesday evening. The QR code for the wallet is there; it's on the screen right now. All right, so there you go. First 50 people to burn 1,000 block will be guaranteed a ticket to the live event next week. As Nick said, we're going to put on some beers and drinks, soft drinks, whatever you want, some food, and you will be around us, obviously doing the show. You'll watch the show live. And of course, there will be guests. Rather than guests being on the streams, guests will be coming into the show live. So you'll be there with them. We'll have a bit of fun doing that as well. A little bit of a groundbreaking thing for us. So we'll have a bit of fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be, you know, I think there's been a demand for it since we launched the Block Party for a live show. And this could be the first of many. But also at the show this time next week, next Tuesday in London, Upper Sky Bar with 50 special guests, which could be you, we will also be giving away 2 tickets to UFC London, 2 members of that audience. UFC London obviously going down a week on Saturday. So what a night it's going to be. And of course, listen, man, I haven't put a couple of quid behind the bar. I've put a couple of quid behind the bar. So there will be a stay behind after the show as well, when we will have a lot of fun.
4 figures behind the bar for 50 people. Let's go. That's how we're going to roll. All right. We're going to have a proper do. I think it's only fair that we have a proper celebration. It's been a lovely start, obviously, to the Block Party. You've supported us through these first, well, it'll be 12 episodes by next week, won't it? And we want to obviously bring that community closer together, because that's what this is all about. We keep encouraging you on a week-by-week basis to join the community. And if you have done that over the last 12 weeks, welcome to it. And we want to give you an opportunity, if you live in the UK, I know this is a bit of a kick in the nuts if you're anywhere else in the world, but we are going to be doing these, fingers crossed, going forward in other locations as well. But the first one at UFC London next week, just for ease, because we're all based here. And we can get that sorted. So if you want to be a part of that, burn 1,000 block. QR codes will keep flashing up on the screen. Burn it to that wallet. And the first 50 will be guaranteed entry. Don't worry if you're number 60. The 1,000 block that you burn will be reimbursed back to you. All right? That's what the boys have told me. So if we get to fit, we've got beyond 50, and you're 51, 52, 53, and you think, oh, I missed out on the ticket, don't worry, we'll reimburse the block. All right, that's how we'll roll. So there you go. Get stuck in. Have a little bit of fun with that. We'll keep updating you throughout the course of the show how the Block Burn is going. Now, I'm excited to bring in this geezer, right? Our first guest. Before I bring him in, his story is absolutely fascinating. You might just be familiar with him as a mixed martial artist. Obviously, in the UFC, he went through the Dana White Contender Series, shot to fame, as I suppose a lot of people's attention during that Contender Series. He's now had a couple of appearances in the UFC. He was in the co-main event at the weekend, and he negated a very, very tricky opponent in expert fashion. Caught a lot of people's imagination as well with the way that he chats, the way that he talks on the microphone. But his journey to this show His journey to this show is absolutely bonkers, and I love it. And I can't wait for him to come and join us and have a little bit of a chat about it. It is, of course, Kyle Barlo. Welcome to the show. How are you? Hey, well,
how are you doing, guys? Nice to be talking with you. Yeah, I'm awesome. After that win on Saturday, I'm awesome, you know?
Listen, great to have you on the show with us, Kyle. We're going to talk about the win at the weekend. We're going to talk about your rise to where you're at right now in a moment. But I want to talk about you as an athlete visualizing your own future, because I want to take you back to February of this year, where on social media, you sent a couple of messages to the Block Asset team, and those messages, you went back and forth. I know there was interaction in that with Darren Till, and you were basically saying, if we can flash it up, well, I think we've still got a little bit of it so people can see this, flash it up on the screen. There's an interaction there, you sending those DMs. And then what happened was, is that 6 months later, after you telling the guys at Block Asset that you would be a Block Asset athlete, that you would be that they would be making your NFTs and creating your tokenization, here you are, my friend. Look at that. Yeah. 6 months later, done.
It's just a few time, right? It was a short period of time, right? Yeah. Man, I look at my future as a world champion, and I really love it the way you guys were doing your thing. You know, I've been joining all the YouTube videos with Kimaev and Darren too, and I love it. You know, I think we can do this really big thing in Brazil, and I can be a star over there. That's why I messaged you guys. You know, so here we are.
You're obviously a guy that visualizes a lot of things going forward. And another, obviously, leading up to the Contender Series, you've been a mixed martial artist for a period of time, a good 8 years working on that, what you were classed as the smallest scene in Brazil, and going undefeated for a long period of time before you got to the Contender Series. There must have been times along that road where it gets difficult mentally to convince friends, family, and even yourself that the dream is going to happen one day. Where does that come from? Where does that mental strength come from, and that visualization technique that you have in order to visualize the future and make things happen?
Actually, I don't know where it comes from. You know, actually, I just visualize it. I just work hard and visualize it every day, being with the belt, being world champ, being a star in the MMA, you know. And it was hard in the beginning to convince all my family and everyone when I left my hometown 8 years ago. But the things was going, and I had so many injuries. I had 5 surgeries, and was difficult in the way, but I never stopped believing, you know, man. I knew that I could pass all these surgeries, all the injuries and everything, and could be in the UFC. That's why I did all these tattoos to pass some message, and I knew that I was going to be in the UFC passing this message. So here I am, man. After 2 wins, I'm very happy and looking forward to my future, you know.
They were solid wins as well, though, man. They were 2 legit opponents that you've had there. You know, Gadzi in your first fight was 13-0, undefeated in his mixed martial arts career. Armin Petrosian at the weekend is a guy with a big reputation, with only 1 loss on his record. UFC have thrown you in at the deep end, but you're proving that you belong at the deep end and you're a genuine threat in this division.
Yeah. They put me 2 world champions, man. Gadzi was world champion of wrestling, you know, like combat sambo. He was world champ. Mm-hmm. And then Petrosian is a kickboxing world champ. They put me some killers to deal with it, you know. And I think I did the right job, you know. I didn't get any risk in my fights. All my fights were dominated. And I think now I'm ready, you know, like I proved the UFC and all the guys, I'm ready to big challenges, to big stage, and to be a star, you know, I'm ready to it.
You've taken to the UFC so well. Like, I watched both those fights. There's been no octagon jitters. There's been no nerves. You look like you've been here for years. What's the secret to taking it in your stride?
Yeah, the secret is to be a free spirit, man. That's the secret, you know. Free of everything, free of fear, for anxiety, for everything, you know. And I think I'm like this inside the octagon. When I step on there, man, I could not be in my best day in the Saturday and everything. But when I step on there, I know I can do the job. I know I'm good at it. I know I have the skills. So, man, this wins means too much to me, you know, man. I'm so happy right now. I'm just want to go home and celebrate with my family and everyone. They're waiting me there. My hometown is on fire, you know, like there's a thousand and thousand of people watching and waiting me there. So I'm ready, man. I'm ready. I'm happy. I'm so happy, you know, that's what I can describe right now.
The new face of Brazilian MMA, man. That's what people are saying. Listen, you just mentioned the tattoo thing there, and I wanted to bring that up because a lot of that is affirmations that is on your body. Just talk the audience through the artwork that you have and what that means to you and how that is helping you from a mental point of view when you go to fight.
Yeah. So this tattoo is a message to everyone because I think that everyone needs to be more free spirit. You know, we see a lot of social media stuff and everyone trying to be like all the guy and like this and like that. So I think you need to be you a little bit more. And if you are you, you can be you. You can be a free spirit, you know, like you don't need to fit on any pattern or anywhere that the other guys want. You don't need to do yourself, do what you want. And that's the kind of message I want to pass in this tattoo, you know. And that's the way I am inside the Octagon. I feel that I am a free spirit, and that's the way that I think better than the other guys, and I can do better than the other guys when I'm free spirit, you know. I'm free of any kind of shit that can bring me down, you know. And I have a little bit more. I have this one, Fight or Die. Yeah, this one was more on my surgeries, you know, like, I had 5 surgeries, and all these surgeries I spent like 6-7 months treating without training. And we only have 2 options, man, fight or give up, you know. And that's what the message that I want to bring in this tattoo, you know. I have judo tattoo, that's my main martial arts tattoo in my chest. I have a little bit more, and I want to do more. I want to do more message to the world, you know. That's what I want. That's why I have just I don't have images. I just have words and phrases, you know.
I want to talk to you about UFC 276 because the camera panned onto your face, right? And you looked emotional, like you were taking all it in. And then I saw you speaking, I can't remember what channel it was, but you were speaking to somebody in the aftermath of it, and it kind of all made sense, your face, what I saw on the television, because all your tenure so far in the UFC has been in the Apex, behind closed yep. doors. Four fights, two with Dana White, Contender Series, and obviously 2 now as a...
I'm the king, I'm the king of the Apex, man. I'm the king of the Apex.
You are, mate. You are, yeah. But obviously seeing a crowd and what the UFC is really all about, the big crowds coming out, the 15,000, 20,000 people coming out to see the event, I could see in your eyes that that's what you want to do next. And I know that there's a plan for the UFC to go to Brazil this year. Is that what you want? You want that show?
Yeah, for sure, man. I think if the UFC goes to Brazil and they bring me to the card, man, all the city and all the country will be on fire. I think all the guys from my hometown, like 1,000 people, are going to the stage. I think everyone wants to see me fighting there. They really love me there. And man, I really want to be on that car, you know, with all the crowd, all this energy. When I imagined myself first time in the UFC, I imagined myself in front of the crowd like screaming and passing in this energy, you know. I never imagined that I would be fighting in the Apex for like 4 times. So it will be a dream come true, another dream come true, you know. Like, I had the dream to be in the UFC, and it came true. Now I had the dream to be fighting in front of a legion of guys, and that dream will come true. And then after that, I'll be a world champion. That dream will come true to either.
Love it, man.
You keep referencing your hometown. It's obviously something you know, you feel like you're representing your whole area. Is your hometown a famous place in Brazil for sportsmen, for athletes?
Actually, it's not too famous there. I'm the first one of my hometown that got into UFC, you know, so it's something really big to them, you know, like they feel represented. Man, I can feel the energy every time I go there. I spend a lot of time taking photos and stuff. So I'm the first one. So I don't want to be the last one for sure.
Well, I think what you'll be now is a catalyst for all the gyms in your hometown to start filling up with kids, because all the kids will be in the playgrounds and at school pretending to be you. This is how it works.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's an honor for me, you know, like having all this. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on the airport, guys. So I'm sorry. So it's an honor for me to be like a role model to all these kids, you know. I think my mom is very proud of it. And I'm really proud of myself with it, you know. Like, I hope there's a bunch of MMA fighters in my hometown that come to the UFC and make history just like me, you know. That's one of my dreams too, you know, be a role model to all these kids and they have a bright future. That would be a good one for sure.
What one of the things that me and Nick speak about on this show quite a lot is that when someone's put in a brilliant performance in the octagon, don't waste the moment on the microphone. So when that microphone, whether it's Bisping, whether it's Rogan, whether it's DC, and they put that microphone in your face, make sure you make that moment count. And you were having a nice moment, you were enjoying the moment, and then all of a sudden, man, you went full savage on Dricus du Plessis. Talk me about this. Come on. Give it to me, man. Let's have this call out, because that's a fight that excites every single fan.
Yeah, man. Actually, I was the good guy, and then suddenly I was the bad guy, right? And then, like, it was crazy because, you know, like, when inside the octagon, we're full of energy, full of emotions, you know, so we can control it. But it's something that I was supposed to get in the UFC card against Marcus Maluco, but then the UFC got Dricus du Plessis first. So I kept that in mind before I was in the contender series that happened. So I kept that in mind, and then I saw his last fight on the UFC 276. I thought he did good, but I think I can beat that guy, you know. And he's in a good position right now of the rankings. He's in the top 15, and I think now it's time for me to enter these rankings. And what better guy that came in first on me, you know, that came in my place and took my spot. So I wanna took his spot now on top rankings in top 15. And I know I can beat the guy, you know, his style does match with mine. And I think we can do a great fight, and I think I can beat him, and I will beat him for sure.
Mate, brilliant, brilliant fight. You versus Dricus du Plessis will be a sensational fight. And you're right, that fight then opens the door to the top 15, top 10. You're a guy that visualizes things. Come on, tell me this path to middleweight gold. Who's getting it? Who's getting it along the way? Because I'm no doubt you've thought about them. Every single one of the fighters that you're going to have along the way to the title, who's getting it? Come on.
No, actually, I didn't talk too much about it. You know, I like to be in the present. You know, like, I like to live the present and everything. Of course, I have a lot of thoughts on the future and stuff. But I think it was a good strategy to call out Dricus du Plessis, you know, because he just entered the rankings right now. But I'm imagining myself like in 3 years a world champion. That's what I want, you know, like, I don't want to lose any fights, and I want to going up like little by little, step by step. And I think Dricus du Plessis can be the first one. And then after then, let's see how the rankings is going, and then let's see who's going to give me, you know. I trained with Alex Pereira, I trained with Sean Strickland, I trained with Borrachinha, I trained with all these guys, and I know I'm on their level, you know? So anyone can get it, man. You feel like anyone can get it, you know?
Hey, mate, you've just excited everybody there, right? You've just mentioned Paulo Costa's name. You, Paulo Costa in Brazil. Come on. Now we're talking. Now we're talking, yeah?
I'm prettier than him, man. I have this tattoo he doesn't have. Don't compare me with him, you know, like, I'm prettier than him, I'm better than him, that's it.
What a fight, mate.
You mentioned there that you train with Alex Pereira. Is that a close relationship? Because if this guy gets Israel Adesanya next, he could become middleweight champion. And then if he's a friend of yours, are you willing to fight him for the belt?
Yeah, actually, he's not a friend of mine. We're not close, you know. Like, I saw him like a couple times in Brazil. We trained once. Was good training. It was in 2019, so I was in the beginning of my career in the Future FC, the event that I was a middleweight champ. But I'm not his friend, you know. Like, if he get this belt, I'm willing to fight him, you know. That's what I want. And if he stays in the middle of my path, I'm gonna beat him. Beat him too, you know. I know I have the tools. We trained already, and I know I can beat him for sure.
Do you think he's got the tools to beat him? Can he beat Adesanya?
If Alex can beat Adesanya?
Yes. Yeah. Do you believe so?
Yeah, I think he can beat Adesanya. You know, like, A guy to win from Alex needs to have ground game. He needs to have wrestling. Needs to have this, you know. So I don't think Adesanya is the one. Even he's a good champ, but I don't think he's the one. He already lost to Alex two times. So I think Alex is gonna win from him, like a knockout in some round, you know. That's what I think, and I'll be ready to get the challenge for sure.
What I like about you, Carl, is that we have a pleasant conversation, lots of laughs, lots of jokes, and then the minute that we mention an opponent, you go full savage, right? It's like you're going to come for us, man. I'm like, whoa! Business. I like it, bro.
All the time, man, business. There's nothing personal, you know? Like, when I get into the octagon, that's what I'm talking to you guys. I'm free spirit, and that's just business to do and skills to do, you know? There's no emotion. There's nothing. When I'm inside the octagon, man, I can be a killer. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Listen, have you got a date for us? When will we see you next? Have you got a roadmap in mind for when you're next in the octagon?
Yeah, I told you a few that I want to rest a little bit. You know, man, it was my fourth fight in 10 months. So I'm really active. My body is really needed some rest. And so I think I'm going to rest for like 1 month, and then I'm going to travel to train some places to get better. And I think November is the best date for me. But if there's really a event going to Brazil in October, I'll be ready to this one, you know?
That's the right answer, my man. We can't wait for it. Listen, Cal, congratulations on a great performance at the weekend. A wonderful start to your tenure in the UFC. And we're looking forward to seeing you out and again by the end of the year, mate. Take care.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Nikki. Really nice to talk to you guys, man. I'm finally here. Let's go.
Yes, you are. What a top guy, Cal Barrado. At the weekend, doing the business on Petrosian. Listen, the best thing I like about the two performances we've seen away from the Contender Series, two very different opponents, Nick, as he just mentioned there, striker, wrestler, and he used the opposing skills in order to get the job done on those particular nights.
Yeah, I think people may look at it on paper and go, oh, well, 2 points decisions, he's not setting the world on fire. But look at the caliber of the people he's beaten. You know, he pointed out himself, two world champions in their own right outside of mixed martial arts, two legit tests, two guys that people are high on in their UFC tenure themselves. And he comes in and gets solid points decisions over them all. There's knockouts in that kid. You can see that by looking at his early record before he got into the UFC and Dana White's Contender Series as well. He's got a lot of ability. But what impressed me most is when he rocks the microphone and he's so down to earth. The fact that he's, you know, bilingual as well really helps. Yeah. All these things are really important. And as he's just shown, you know, the block party viewers there, he's got a wicked personality as well. And he's right. Listen, I might have trained with Alex Bahia, but he's not my friend. He ain't putting bread on my table. I'll go right through him if I need to. Violence, baby. Mate. That's what we're here for. That's what we love to hear.
Mate, I'll be honest with you. I did shit my pants when you asked him that question because he went full violence. I thought, whoa, we're having a laugh a minute ago.
He's not my friend. I'm like, oh, yes, let's go.
It was good fun. What a top guy, top guy. Listen, just a quick one before we bring in the king of SBG in a moment or two. I know that the QR code for the Burn Wallet is currently on screen, and this is all for next week's show. So next week's show, we're going to do this live. We're not going to be in our basements. We're not going to be in our sheds. We're going to be in a lovely sky bar in London, in the build-up to UFC London. Loads of guests are going to come and join us on the program, and you are more than welcome to come and join us as well. So the first 50 people that burn 1,000 block to that QR code wallet there will be guaranteed entry to Block Party Live next week. And as Nick said at the start of the show, somebody in that audience will win themselves two tickets for UFC London. And as well as that, there might be some familiar faces, let's just say, coming to join us on the show. So you can come and hang out, have a bit of a laugh. Nick's put a lot of beer behind the bar. He's put a few nibbles on, as he says, and we'll have a little bit of a party, a proper block party. Yeah, that's how we're going to roll. Now, I'm excited about this because with all due respect, this week, mate, my social media feed is just littered with fights that this man has been heavily connected to over the last God knows how long. He's been a staple to our narratives for some of the best fights that we've seen, not only in the UFC, but in across all mixed martial arts platforms. He's a man doing wonderful, wonderful things, not just for professional fighters either. I've no doubt that maybe in the next 10 minutes, Nick, he's going to try and blag you to get involved in his Train Alta program. All right. So you just keep yourself to yourself, because you're losing that weight, son. You might be down underneath that light heavyweight limit, and Mr. Kavanagh might be getting you involved. All right, lad. Watch yourself. Here he is. There you go. Time for a little bit of Straight Blast. Mr. John Kavanagh, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
What's up, Adam? Nice to speak to you. And all right, Nick, how's it going? All right, lads.
All right, John, lads.
He's gone full scouts. He's gone full scouts early doors. Listen, first things first, and these are the most important things, all right? How was the Guns N' Roses concert, mate? Come on, forget all this MMA stuff. Talk to me about Guns N' Roses. How was it? Any good?
Yeah, I've been very lucky to be in, I think that was my fourth one. And the lads are still going strong and they look great. And me and Orla had a great night.
Up on stage, mate? Did you get up there? Did you do a bit?
Nah, I just, I'll hang back and let Axel do his thing for that one.
Fair play to you. Fair play. Listen, we've loads to talk about. I want to start with my timeline on social media this week. It has just been littered, obviously. 7 years since UFC 189. You've done a lot of things in your career, John, to be fair. Does it feel like 7 years since that run into UFC 189?
Yeah, it's insane, isn't it? You blink and all these years fly by. I remember every moment of that, and it's always fun. It's always enjoyable watching it back and also thinking about the future. But what a card that was from top to bottom. Obviously, for us, the big moment was Conor winning his first UFC title. But it was a great card to watch the whole way through.
When you actually think about it, it must be difficult living the moment, because you're in the moment, you're just doing your thing, you're going through whatever you're going through. But the run up to UFC 189, to the end of 205, obviously, in champ status and New York City, will probably go down as one of the greatest runs in all of mixed martial arts history. It's just iconic.
Yeah, for a bunch of reasons. Obviously, the fights were great. The people getting to meet that quite unique personality and all those incredible sound bites for you guys. he's obviously a star. He just seems to have a natural charisma about him and has these witty replies at the drop of a hat. And for that side of things, obviously I'm not involved, but I enjoy watching them like anybody else does. And then, of course, the fights themselves. There's no point if you're going out there and saying all these things and then you just keep losing. He had a great streak, and it was topped off with a matchup that was maybe not the most favorable matchup on a very short notice change. Yeah. And he went out there and he did the business. And, obviously the walkout, Sinead O'Connor, and the traveling Irish crowd, it was something really, really special.
We know how it's changed his life. How has it changed your life, and how has it changed the attitude, I suppose, to MMA and getting involved in mixed martial arts in Ireland? And I'm sure you'll have seen the influx coming through the gym and obviously with the Train Alta program now. How was that moment, that crazy period of time, influence what we're experiencing now?
Well, it's had a fantastic effect on the amateur scene, the grassroots level, because like when a star comes along from a certain country, whatever that sport may be, whether it's a young golfer, a young rugby player, whatever, it has a knock-on effect that the 10-year-olds, 8-year-olds that are watching, they start taking up the sport. I could use an example like Lee Hammond, who's gone on now to, be an IMAF world champion and now an undefeated pro. He was inspired by Conor back in those days, and it's what drove him to train to the level he has. And that's been mirrored across Ireland, across all those MMA schools across Ireland. And as an association, we went from having a handful of MMA schools to, I think it's close to 100 now. And each of those gyms, nothing to do with mine, each of those gyms is producing really high-level guys. Like, we just had a Four Nations tournament. It was Ireland, England, I think Scotland and Wales, maybe. And, Ireland had a great run at it. I think mostly undefeated. I think 10-1, maybe. Mostly golds, won silver. And all of those kids were inspired at some level by his attitude. Obviously, the great victories and what he did for elevating. I'm sure it'll bore people to tears, but I always bring up the story of walking into a shop and an older woman
pulling me aside and saying, is Conor working on that takedown defense? And that's when I really knew that MMA, it wasn't just like, is he going to win? Or, you know, she was starting to chip away at her approach and chip away at her skill level and ask, okay, is he working at on the takedown defense? So that was really one of those moments where I went, wow, this is becoming mainstream here.
Absolutely.
Obviously, I was at the Four Nations, John, and it was incredible 3 days of competition. And as you say, the Ireland team came over fully kitted out, you know, well versed on entering amateur tournaments for the last couple of years. But like the Scotland team that took part, that was the first ever time amateur MMA athletes from Scotland had represented their country in any tournament anywhere in the world. They're a couple of years behind Ireland in setting up their own association. But people keep saying to me, well, why does that matter? But setting up an amateur structure and having that support system at amateur level and maybe even Olympic competition one day is critical to the growth of the sport, isn't it, across the board?
Yeah, we're a very unusual sport that way back when it was the professional side that blew up very quickly. And then the amateur side started playing catch up. You know, most sports, it's the other way around. If you go into amateur boxing, you might, tens of thousands of kids will do amateur boxing for a few years. Only a very small percent will ever even dream of going pro. Whereas for our sport, a guy, you know, wins two local fights in a regional promotion and all his mates are asking him, when are you getting into UFC? And that wasn't going to be something that could last. We really needed to have that structure. And IMAF came along, did a fantastic job, you know, heavily supported by the UFC and other promotions. And now we're starting to see the fruits of those efforts. You know, I think IMAF now, I think, celebrating its 10th birthday. And I always use examples like Danny Nealon and Kieran Clark that had an extensive amateur career, 20, 30, 40 fights. And then switching over to pro, you know, England's own Makiyev is another incredible example of that. And I've said this many times, and I'll say it again, that I think within the next 5 or 10 years, you're not going to get a major champion in any of the organizations that has not come through that IMAF development pathway. Because for the local lad that's done 2 or 3 amateur fights, if he's going against someone that's had 25, 30, 40 fights where he's been traveling international, doing 2, 3, 4 day events in Bahrain or the UK or America, it's very hard to compete with that level of experience.
Yeah,
I agree.
Absolutely.
I noticed that Mr. McGregor was back on the match yesterday, mate, and that you were having a grapple with him. Please tell me that you put something on him, son. You showed him what it was all about.
I don't know if you can see the few nicks and marks. He just kind of showed up by surprise, and of course he grabbed me by the neck, and I was subjected to a couple of rounds by this 2,000-pound gorilla, and I came home and I walked in the door and Orla went, what the fuck happened to you? What's wrong with your head? And I said, oh, Conor showed up, and she just sort of rolled her shoulders and went, yeah, that makes sense. But we had a great roll around, and I think that's literally my first time doing some grappling with him since the lead up to the last fight. So it's been a while. He's back healthy now. He's back able to do all the facets of MMA training. So he kind of remarked at the end of the session, well, that's day one. And I said, nah, that's more like day 100,000. You had a bit of a break there, but that ain't our first time doing this. So, but you know, it lifts the whole gym. You have a busy jiu-jitsu class there. Just a regular civilian, if I'll put it that way, jiu-jitsu class. You got a guys with a couple of months training, some amateur fighters, some blue belts, some black belts, and he walks in, and it just, the whole gym, you feel kind of lifted. There's a great energy in it. He brings that intensity to every training session, and it was great to see all the younger guys on the mat there get a great buzz off that.
Yeah. No, good to see. Listen, we've got a picture here, mate, because this made me giggle yesterday. Conor put this up on his social media. And obviously everybody knows the SBG logo. There it is. There it is.
He is the logo. Mate, he is the logo.
He's morphing into the gorilla. That's where we're at.
It's like, don't they say, like, after a while you start to resemble your pets? So I think Conor has begun to resemble the SBG icon there. I don't know which is even bigger at this stage, him or the silverback.
Looking well, man. Looking well. Like you said, he turned up yesterday on the mats with yourself, but it was what you would class as a civilian class. And I know that you've modified the Wimp to Warrior thing, haven't you, into Train Alter. Just talk me through that modification. And the goals and ambitions for it.
Yeah, so it's, you know, we went through a rebranding process. It was during COVID. It seemed like a good time to do it. It was something that we'd all talked about. I think the original name was nice and catchy, and it got people interested. But I don't think it really encapsulated what we were trying to do on a global stage. And now that we've really started to expand, we're in well over 100 gyms at this stage, and this year, especially with the taking on Rich Chow, who used to be one of the head of VPs in Bellator, and he's really helping us break into that North American market. And I think the Train Alta, Alta meaning to reach new heights, reach new levels. Mm-hmm. It's sort of it's more encompassing name for the program that we all feel a bit more comfortable with. It sort of came at almost a good time where things were shut down for a while, and now everything's revving back up. We've got this new brand behind us. We've got a whole new set of ambassadors behind us, some big gyms coming on board. You know, obviously DC and Laura Sanker are doing great things over there, Rich Chow. So North America is a big part of the focus for the rest of this year. Got some really big things lined up, some big announcements coming in. And obviously, the where it began in Australia is still very strong. And in Ireland, we always have big seasons. The UK starting to get some of the big gyms lined up. And this is really what it's been about for me. You know, I went through a very blessed period of having these fantastic big names fighting on the big shows. But this is an opportunity to bring MMA truly to the masses, to really get that half a billion fans worldwide. An ability to experience MMA at a level that will give them such an appreciation for it, maybe get them involved in a new sport for life. You know, so many of them at the end of the program, it's an intense 20 weeks. You train 5 days a week for 20 weeks. And at the end of it, guess what? They join the jiu-jitsu program, the kickboxing program, you know, the fitness element in the gym, the girlfriend or the boyfriend comes down, joins up, the kids start doing jiu-jitsu. So it really is bringing MMA to the masses, like in a way that I never thought possible, if I'm being honest, and it's great to see it start to come to fruition.
Is that the most rewarding thing for you, John? I know that you've had major, as you said, you've had major success with a lot of top professional athletes, but would this be the biggest success, changing the landscape of the sport and making it more accessible at the grassroots?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I would, of course, like to pat myself on the back for some of the achievements of some of the great guys I have. But look, we take in these guys that are incredibly mentally tough, physically tough, just tough guys. And they sometimes have, you know, experience in other combat sports. And we add a little bit of technique to them, and then off they go, and let's see how they go. But to take people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, all these different shapes and sizes, maybe never did sport at all, and they come in, they've got confidence issues. It's really me in my late teens. That's why I got into MMA. It wasn't to be an MMA star. It was to build up my confidence, to get my self-worth back, and to do it through the vehicle of MMA. And it was... back in those days, you know, a little bit more raw, and there might not have been the most welcoming environment to walk into an MMA gym. Now, with this program, we have an ability to take people who have done absolutely nothing from day one, and 100 lessons later, the option of their first amateur MMA fight is there. And it's the messages I get for the week after that. People saying to me, I was at a tough time in my life. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was kind of interested in this, but I just didn't know where to get started. And, you know, they come into the program, very beginner friendly, very, very opening. And even for gym owners, so many of the gym owners come back and say, you know, it's great having this small professional fight team, but this is why I get into MMA as well. You know, 20 years ago, none of us were thinking about making massive money from coaching pro fighters. It's more of a, I would say, a vocation than a career. But for this now to be injecting this whole new set of people into your gym that will do the program and go on to become hopefully lifelong members of this sport that we all love so much, I think it's having a major effect on the landscape, both from a gym owner perspective and from getting that transfer of fandom to participation.
Mm. Yeah, man. I think the course, you know, going back to Wim to Warrior, obviously the rebrand now with Train Alta, what I've seen in gyms around the UK whenever I've gone to gyms as well is that 10 years ago, it was full of doormen. It was full of guys with cauliflower ears, guys with busted up noses. Now you go to gyms, there's families sitting around, there's kids classes going on. There's a mum's class upstairs and a kid's class over there. The sport really has, like no other, very quickly wrapped its arms around communities. And now, you know, Ireland's probably the same as Liverpool. You walk around Liverpool, there used to be a boxing gym in every working class neighborhood. Now you walk around these working class areas and it's just MMA gyms everywhere, city center, MMA gyms. People are going before work, 6 a.m. to do an MMA workout. People aren't running, just jogging anymore or hitting a few pads. They're actually going in and rolling and doing different things. And for the sport to have moved so quickly and capitalized on that is incredible. And once the amateur side of it catches up, John, on a global scale, boom, you better be ready, because I think we're Olympics bound.
Yeah, I agree. I know there's the IMAF, the international body, is making strong moves towards being in those LA games in 28. Very sad to see that boxing has been dropped from the 28 games. I know so many young boxers that were aiming for that.
Yeah.
But maybe they've got MMA as an avenue now. But even not about that. I don't think it's. I don't really like doing the comparison of one sport versus another sport.
Yeah.
I prefer talking about sport versus no sport. And we don't have to, we all know the issues with, especially in the Western world, with obesity and problems with kids growing up that are inactive because of, you know, the fun of the phone and video games. And for them to have another sport that maybe they will be more attracted to over another, and to have it an easier on-ramp to it, whether it's joining as a young child and going through the cadet process with the IMAFs, or as an older person coming in and go, maybe starting with Train Alta as a way of beginning the sport, but eventually becoming a lifelong part of this environment. That's really, really special.
Yeah. One last one for me, John, is just two questions, actually. One, I want to get your take on Ian Garry, because right now he looks like an absolute world beater. He's taken the UFC by storm. He's had the maddest 12 months of any fighter, probably compatible with Conor on a different level, the way his life's just been turned upside down and inside out. So your take on Ian Garry. And then the other question is, because people always ask me this, and I want to get your inside info. Because the athletes are about to be tokenized, people always want to know who the next big star is. And I know your mats are always absolutely red hot. So give us a name or two from the mat at SBG over at your place as well, please.
Oh, God. For the second question, I always give this answer. I'm always nervous because it's like saying to a parent, so who's your favorite child? And then I've got to go on the mat the next day, and I get a lot of puppy dog eyes about, why didn't you mention my name, you know? But I'll go for the first question. So Ian Garry, I think he's looked fantastic, especially in his last fight. I thought he really had gone up a level in that one. And now that he's with a really top class operation in Sanford MMA, he came from a very good school in Ireland before that, but there's something about being around that large group of professional fighters that you just can't help. It's almost like sink or swim, but you know, you just can't help but raise your level when you're on the mats day in, day out. I mean, Sanford MMA, you could just rattle off the number of ranked fighters and champions there. So I think we're beginning to see the benefits of that training for Ian there in his last fight. And so young, so charismatic, good on the mic, obviously good on in the cage. That's a guy that can certainly go all the way. So I'm absolutely looking forward to following his progression. And now, God, who's my favorite child? Jesus Christ! Look, we have a bunch of these guys in the gym at the moment. They're all under 25. Whether it's Derek Kelly from up north, who is in Bellator, Asiel, he's a real special talent because he's a lifelong traditional martial artist, trained by his father originally, and now a couple of years with me, and the grappling is catching up. Young Gary Rooney, still amateur at the moment, but he's like an old man trapped in a young body. Such a mature approach to his training. Lee Hammond, I'd have to mention him. He made me eat humble pie again. I keep telling him this Barambola nonsense is a waste of time, and then he keeps using it in high-level fights. He just hit his fourth one, and I said to him the other day, I said, you know what? I'm done. Teach me how to do it and teach the class. So he actually took the MMA session, and I'm trying to go upside down doing these crazy moves. God, who else? I could probably do this all day. You know, Richie Smullen is a stalwart there. He's been one of those guys just never off the mats. He fell short in the Ultimate Fighter show by one. Took some time off. He's really come back strong. A lot of big finishes since he came back. I'm not sure where he's going to go next. We have a young guy, Nathan Kelly, joined me. I think he was 1-2. Now he's gone 4 knockouts in a row. I don't know if I can say this, but fuck it, I'll just say it. He's got a PFL debut coming up.
Nice.
I definitely don't think I was supposed to say that, but I'm sorry, PFL, but just take this as being good publicity. It's pretty much a done deal. Carl Moore, he was somebody that I'd watched from afar for many, many years. He was training up north, went on to win the champ status with Cage Warriors, light heavyweight and heavyweight champion. Had a little bit of difficulty with consistency with training with me. And then in the last 6 months, I don't know what's happened, but he's sorted out stuff in his personal life, and his foot's been to the floor. And him and Johnny Walker are just great training partners, great friends, and they've really brought each other along. He's got a very, very tough Bellator debut in September. Lucy, just back. She had a tough run in the UFC. Now she's back in the UFC in August.
Are you naming the whole gym now just not to piss anybody off?
And the thing is, I know I'm going to forget someone, and I know I'm going to work in tomorrow.
You're going to get it tomorrow.
And there'll be some annoyed children that I'll have to give a hug to and say, I love you too. I love you too.
Listen, just before we let you go, recently we saw one of the best fights that I can remember in recent time between Sinead Kavanagh, of course, and Liam McCourt. What is it like watching that from the other side of the cage wall, man? Because that was just outstanding.
You know, it's funny. When you're in the middle of these fights, you don't really appreciate it because you're just kind of dealing with, you know, right away, Leah did a great job, got a body lock in the opening seconds, went for a trip, and Sinead moved awkwardly, ACL gone. And, you know, a little bit of a flashback of Conor and Max Holloway. But, you know, trying to make those adjustments. Okay, well, look, we don't have to move in on the feet, but we seem to be having some success on the cage wall, defending the takedowns and even getting our own takedowns. So, okay, Sinead, you're going to have to go flat-footed, keep the weight on the good leg and kind of draw her in so that she does clinch you on the fence. And then let's see, can we make those reversals work that we drill so hard in the gym? So at the time, and you know, Connor's over my shoulder going crazy. It's like I get a free extra corner man. He's such a booming voice. So we get an extra corner man, and then you're in between rounds and you're trying to talk her through them. And then afterwards, you look back and go, "Wow, that was a wild fight." But you know, Leah, both of those girls, fantastic Irish MMA fighters, real inspirations for our Train Alta program, for our IMA juniors. The IMAD juniors now, the female, like I think it's almost 50-50 participation for those kind of under 15s, under 12s. And some of the girls coming through there are just freaking terrifying. You know, it's very scary looking at them. And you look back at these fights, you know, Conor Nate too, and these great fights, you look back at them afterwards and go, man, I'm glad I wasn't too conscious of just how wild that fight was at the time. I probably would have had a heart attack.
Absolutely. Listen, just to let you go, when is the most hotly anticipated rematch happening? You and Ronnie O'Sullivan. We've seen it. We saw the first one, mate. So when's the second one happening? You need revenge, bro. Come on, you need to get him sorted.
You know, I'm still licking my wounds from that, so I think I had to officially hang up the gloves. But you know, you know me.
Like, him on the snooker table, John.
It's 2 a.m. It's post event, and I sometimes like to have a beer or two at the end of the night. And then 22-year-old Kavanagh jumps up and says, "You know what, John? I think you could take that guy." And then the next day you're going, "What was I thinking there?"
Top stuff. Listen, amazing. John, top stuff, man. Listen, for people that are watching this that want to get involved in the Train Alta program, is there a particular website that you can point people towards to get more information about it?
So trainalta.com is the website, or trainalta on Instagram. And on Saturday, we are having a free intro class at my gym, SBG HQ. I will be on the mats 10 a.m. There's actually a bit of a local star coming down that has challenged me to a knock. So we're going to, me and Terrence from talking, it's called Talking Bollocks, so I don't know whether you have to blank that out or not, but
that's right.
He's got a massive following in Dublin. He's threatened and challenged all of my fight team, and those guys are busy with real fights, so I've decided to step up. Me and Terrence, 10 a.m., SBG HQ, come down, get involved, try the class, welcome for absolute beginners, or just come down to watch me strangle Terrence a few times.
That's what we're here for, top man. Exactly. Listen, John, thank you so much for giving up some time on a Tuesday night to come and have a chat with you. It's great to speak to you again, man, and we're looking forward to seeing you again soon. Take care, pal.
Absolutely. Cheers, John.
Absolute pleasure, guys. All the best, Nick. Take care.
Superstar. There you go, John Kavanagh. And if you're in the area on Saturday, get down to his gym to watch him do his thing, a part of the Train Alta program. Listen, it's so true. It's such a backward sport, MMA, isn't it?
Yeah.
Professional game's gone like this, and we're down here with the grassroots, but obviously John being a very vocal voice, and I know that you're heavily involved in it as well with the guys at IMAF. We're getting there. We're getting in the right direction, and stuff like the Four Nations thing, last week in Liverpool, big things. You've got to give competition elements to people, haven't you? And therefore, they can go and showcase the talent on an amateur level. Tournaments like that are absolutely crucial.
Yeah, exactly. And it's crucial to get recognition by the government as well. Most people don't even realise that. You know, when the UFC rocks into London in 10 days' time or whatever it is, 11 days' time, they will actually put that show on under the entertainment licence, not under any kind of sport licence, because mixed martial arts isn't as yet recognised by the UK government as a sport. How crazy is that? But that's the same in a lot of countries around the world, because you're right, we started with the top of the mushroom cloud. We started with pay-per-view element, the UFC, the biggest way. And now the sport's being trying to build backwards down to grassroots to make sure that kids have the right safeguard and that coaches in these gyms around the country have a certain level of competency. So, yeah, it's such an unusual sport in that regard, John's right. But it's people like John and myself, you know, in a much smaller capacity that are driving for this change to happen. And John's got such a strong voice over in Ireland. And Ireland, as I say, are light years ahead of England, Scotland and Wales on their developments. And most of that is down to the work John's done. And of course, the influence of Conor on bringing mixed martial arts to the fore as a premier sport for Irish fight fans.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Listen, just a quick reminder of the competition that is running throughout the course of the show. You can see the QR code keep flashing up on screen. That's the burn wallet that we're using. That is our block burn event this evening. And one lucky burner, 50 lucky burners will be joining us at our live show next Tuesday. So the next episode of Block Party is going to be live in London. Food and drink all on for you. Me, Nick, plus others. And you can be there. And as well as that, there will be two tickets for UFC London up for grabs on the night. But you've got to burn 1,000 block, one entrance per wallet, and the first 50 to burn 1,000 block will be guaranteed a ticket. The QR code's on the screen right now. A little bit of disappointing news for UFC London. We heard last week Darren Till off the card against Jack Hermanson in that co-main event. We've seen that Chris Curtis has obviously been shoehorned into that co-main event against Jack Hermanson. But disappointing news for Darren. Hopefully he can get himself fit and we'll see him before the end of the year.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can see him now, can't we? Isn't he about to join the block party? Haven't we got him patched in down there? I'd like to hear from the main man himself if he's available. Here he is. Not doing anything illegal at all.
Why are you gate crashing the show, man? We were going to talk about you rather than to you.
How's things, brother? You look happy, but obviously disappointed.
Well, as the famous Robin Williams said, people who smile are most usually the most depressed.
Putting a brave face on it. When did you know, Darren, that it wasn't going to happen for you?
I've just been fighting, Nick. Like, it's so funny. Like, people are just so, everyone who's ever seen me fight. Hello. Everyone who's ever seen me train or like whatever, mate. You've been down the gym many a times, Nick. You know what we put ourselves through in carbon, and just like I've just been fighting with myself for a while. Even when I was out doing Kamzat's camp and that with me knee, and I've been fighting against it. And it actually wasn't me who made the call on the fight. It was like other people who just like decided to speak to the UFC on my behalf and were like, listen. Darren still thinks he's fighting and that, but he's not, because he's fucking, like, you know, his leg's fucked and that, whatever.
Yeah. So. Well, you went into the Brunson fight with that injury.
Yeah.
You know, and that listen, undoubtedly that played a part in your performance that night. So
yeah.
I like the fact that people around you, because I know what you're like, you'll fight anyone tomorrow. Yeah. I like the fact that people around you have gone, no, listen, you know what? Let's get back to being 100% before you get back inside the octagon.
Yeah. You know what, mate? Blame Tom Aspinall for the Derek Brunson fight. It was actually his, well, it wasn't his fault. Me and him were training, and I haven't ever really gone into much detail about it, because obviously, what's there to say about an injury? If you still fight, you know, you still obviously think you can win the fight. So, you know, there's no excuses on my part, but it's been a year now since the fight, and, you know, I don't want to, I've said it loads of times, man, I hate saying shit like this, but I don't want to disrespect Derek in any way, but if I was even 80% fighting fit for that fight, it wouldn't have got out the first round. I know that. Look at the fight before. I know I lost my fight before. It's just so frustrating because people are saying, oh, you're coming off fucking whatever, how many losses, it's two losses or something. Like, mate, fucking, oh, look who I'm fighting. You know, I'm fighting the best there is. And you know, one more step up in gears in the Whittaker fight, and I won that fight. I'd be in a different position right now. It's just so frustrating, man. I just know my potential, and everyone around me knows it as well. Like, even Curtis, who stepped in for me against Jack the Joker, I trained with him loads in Vegas, and he was, like, saying to me, we, like, trained one day, and we wrestled, and he was like, wow, you're wrestling so much. And I was like, mate, don't go off my wrestling off one fight. Go and watch every single one of my fights before that. I fought fucking Olympic wrestlers in Argentina and Brazil, and the guy couldn't even touch me to take me down. Like, so it's just so frustrating at this point in my career now, man. I'm happy for the way English MMA is going. I'm like, to see all these up and comers, Tom, Paddy Muhammad, all these guys. I'm so happy to see them, you know, in the position they're in. But it's so fucking frustrating for me at the same time, because I know my potential. I'm not down on anyone, but I'm the fucking best out there, and I know that. And it's just such a fucking depressing time for me at the moment, because, like, listen, trolls don't bother me, but it's just these fucking comments and all these even fighters, and they're like, oh, I fucking pulled out. And I'm like, mate, come to the gym and I will fucking take you out. It's just so frustrating right now for me, it really is. I'm just at a fucking low point. But you know what? I've like took this little bit of mentality on, like, now that I'm in, like, I feel like I'm in a Tyson Fury moment. You know, like, remember when he was, like, going through that depressed stage, and for like a year or two, when he was, I feel like that's where I'm at now. Obviously, I'm not drinking and taking drugs. That's not my way. But I still feel like that, and it's honestly, you know, I'm not about this new age of like, oh, I'm depressed and mental health and all that bullshit. I come from a different era of that, but I just feel it's just fucking so. It just makes you feel so fucking low. Shit like this, man.
Mate, it's hard to hear you speak like this, obviously, because we always are around you, and you're so up and you're so upbeat and what have you. But I think a lot of fans, and listen, people in the media as well, you kind of forget you're a real person at the end of the day. Yeah. This is your career. This is your real career. Yeah. And this must be, as you've just said, incredibly frustrating when your body's not doing what your brain knows it can do. Yeah. What is, physically, what's the prognosis going forward? How long are you looking at before you believe that you'll be in a situation where you can seriously start talking about having a fight?
Do you know what, mate? Do you know what I want to do? I want to look after me. Like, it's all good and well me going to the gym and breaking myself and training. Like, I've always had that mentality where I don't have that thing of, you know, a lot of fannies today, they wake up and they won't train as well as they think they should have if they haven't had the right breakfast or shit like that, or they haven't got the right pair of shorts. And I don't think like that. I just get up and think, who am I going to kill today? How am I going to get better? Like, and that's worked for a long time. And I've done 20 years of it, mate. I'm 29 now, right? And I swear to God, like, I've always had this thing as, like, if I'm not going to go to the gym and give me all 100%, I just won't go. So every day I've had to give it 100%. And, like, I've just fucking, like, even when I was in Sweden the other week with Kamzat and that, like, he was like, he knew there was something up with me, and he was just like, brother, come on. And I was like, mate, I'm just going to box and this and that, and like the whole team there. Because I feel like they're my second team now. You know, obviously I've got Team Carbon here and that, and I feel like they're my second team. They really took me under the wing, and obviously we've got a budding partnership with Block Asset, but it's just like, I don't even want to think about fighting right now. Good.
Listen, this is where you need to be at. You need to get yourself right.
Listen, right?
and this is legit chat. What goes on in between your ears is the most important thing. Get everything right. Nobody wants to see you going out there half-assed, man. People want to see you going out there being you, being the legit guy that you are. And you owe it to yourself. You don't owe it to me. You don't owe it to Nick. You don't owe it to any fan. You don't owe it to anybody else. You owe it to yourself to get yourself 100% and then go and do what you believe you're capable of going to go and do.
So true, mate. Like, it's nice listening to that as well. It's funny. Do you know, like, I'm 29, man, and I'm not even in a prime of my career, and I've got 10 years left to make my mark on the sport, and I know I'll... Listen, and all that comes with all this hype and all that, I know one thing, mate, and I can fucking fight, and I know I can be the fucking best, and I can make a real dent in this whole world of, like, fighting. And but just right now is not my time, and I just need to sit back and understand that.
Yeah.
So it's just, the only thing with it, mate, is it just fucking, you know, I'm not a crying man or anything, but it fucking just frustrates me so much, because, like,
I can imagine.
I'm just fucking, I'm so pissed off with it, and it's like, I've heard people say, oh, you fucking, it doesn't bother me, but it does. Anyone who says the trolls don't bother you is a liar. Like, don't get me wrong, I fucking give it back to the cunts, but some little comments don't half get you. Sometimes like, oh, retire now. What do you mean retire, mate? What the fuck are you harping on about? I'm not even in me fucking, I haven't even dented me prime yet. I know where I'm at, but you know, you just have to take it, don't you, mate? You just have to take this shit on the chin.
Yeah. You do.
There is certainly an element of that, absolutely. And you know, because the world we live in at the moment, social media is so accessible, and you've used social media to your advantage, of course you have, and that's one of the reasons why you've got such a big following and why you've been a headliner in the UFC for so long, because you can fight, but you can also sell a fight, and that's a quality that not a lot of fighters have, and that's why the UFC, I guarantee, will give you as much time as you possibly need or want to get yourself right. But I think... right now, some time away. Probably the worst thing you could do now is come to UFC London next week. As much as I want to see you there, it sounds like you should just stay at home, man, and just have a little break away from things altogether.
Yeah. There's not much to say, Nick. I keep reminiscing on shit. Like, you know, do you all remember like the first lockdown to the third one? Like, the first was great, like everyone was out in the sun and I had a quad and I was just out every day, and then Colin rang me and he was like, let's get ready for Whittaker. It was like literally me and Colin in the gym every day, and then my friend Gillies was bringing sparring partners down. It was brilliant. Like, it was so good. Colin was saying every day, we're going to do Khabib style strength conditioning. Like, everything was great. And then I remember on the third lockdown, I got a chef in to live with me and my uncles. I didn't live with me bird or my kids. And I swear to God, I'd just go to and from the gym every day. I stayed on my diet relentlessly, and it was the best I've ever been. And I actually knew inside me I was going into that fight with Marvin. I'm not disrespecting Marvin. Listen, he's higher up than me now. He's on a fucking totally different path. You know, he'd probably see this and say some angry shit, as he usually does, because he's got no brains. But I would have went in that fight and stopped him 100% in the first round, because he's just a monger who comes forward. He just wouldn't have been able to take my shots. Like, don't get me wrong, he's a cardio machine. He is a monster. And I do respect him as a fighter, but there's just no way to cope with me at that point where I was in my life. I was so fucking fit. There was nothing to do. It was just chewing back the gym. My diet was on point. And then 2 weeks before, it's like I broke my collarbone. It's like, it's just like, and these people must just be thinking, oh, this Till's fragile. No, mate, I'm not fragile. Like, bring 90% of fighters all around the world to our gym. Bring them all, and you'll see what time it is. It's like, it's fucking brutal, man. And it's just fucking got to the point, it's fucking, my body's just endured as much as it can take at this point.
But like you just said, you need to get to a point now where you can accept that, because you're putting too much pressure on yourself. You know what you can do, but not being able to realize what you can do is the thing that's frustrating you. But you need to get, you need to get to a point where you can be at peace with that for this period of time, get that body back to 100%, of which you'll then be able to sort out the things that are now going on inside your head. And then you can get back to doing what Darren Till does, man. Stop. You don't have to, like I've just said about the pressure thing, right? You don't owe anything to anybody. Like when it's UFC London, the majority of fans automatically think Till should be on this card. Till's on this card because you're the guy.
I gave the main event slot up to Tom.
Well, we've all been at UFC London. We've all been at the UFC Liverpool shows, mate. We've all seen that. But you're now putting extra pressure on yourself. You're compounding it. Yeah. Let it go. It's all right. There'll be a period of every dog has his fucking day, man. And there'll be a period of time in the next 2 to 3 years where you get to bark, and then everybody will know. But you've got to be at peace with that moment now.
Of course, I totally agree. Like, fucking police behind me, just my luck. can we just let these go? Right, I'm in park. There's no, I'm not causing anything to anyone, am I? God,
this could be a block party first, an arrest.
There you go.
Mid show.
Mate, we're getting deep and they're interrupting. What's going on?
I know.
do you want us to leave you to it?
It's just the usual day in Liverpool. A young lad in an RS6, it doesn't really go down well. Oh, he's only on his own. He drove past shit house. Do you know what, mate? I always, I enjoyed these type of chats. And, I'm always a guy who's always told the honest truth, no matter what it be. And that's just it at the end of the day. I'm just that I don't mind saying it, and I don't want anyone to say, oh, no, you're not. I don't mind admitting and being comfortable that I'm on a bad point in my career and in my life. And I don't want anyone to turn around and go, no, you're not. Look what you've got. You've got this and you've got this house. Oh, yeah, all right, Sam. I know I'm at a bad point, and I'm comfortable enough to say that and accept it. So I think sometimes when you're thriving them in like this situation I'm in now, I think I'll come out on top, and I know I always will. So I remember you text me, Nick, after me fight, and was like, your journey was never going to be the easiest. You'll be the champ one day, we all believe in. I was like, that message really, I never replied to it. Obviously, I wasn't speaking to them at the point, but it was a nice message.
Yeah, but I meant it because I've known this about you your entire life, and speaking to your family, your friends, to your coaches, they all say the same thing. Darren Till is never, ever going to be a straight road. It was always going to be a long and winding road. Because that's the way your life is. It's crazy. It's like a roller coaster. You're up, you're down, you're up, you're down. Right now, quite clearly, you're down. But I think anyone that's followed your career for as long as I have knows that what comes after a down, it's an up. You just need to cut yourself a bit of slack and go, you know what? As you said before, right now is not your time. Your main focus now is to get yourself a lack, get comfortable in your own skin, get fit, and then have your time. Simple. Yeah. No one's going anywhere. The fans aren't going nowhere. The UFC is going nowhere. Your coaches and all your support systems going nowhere. Everyone's still here waiting for you. You just got to do you, man.
Yeah, man.
Listen, Nick's getting the alien next week if you fancy getting on the last years, mate. He's
mate, the way I'm feeling, I'll be down there on the no, I'm not gonna say what's
going on. No, you don't. No. No.
On the brandies,
I've got to remember that I'm on my own show. Yeah, come on.
That's it. Behave yourself. Listen, where do we send this invoice for this counselling session, by the way? Do you want it? Or do we send it to the lads?
Send it to www.idon'tgiveafuck.com. It is what it is, mate. I'm not looking for any fucking sorry or thingies like that. And I'm not one of these guys who's going to come out and be like, oh, battled with this. I'm just rolling with the low times, comfortable in them. And, I think when you admit that certain factor, I think a lot of people should look at this and be like, oh, you know what? I'm actually not depressed. I'm just having a down day. I don't consider myself now battling with anything or depressed. I just consider myself at a low point in my life and my career. And I'm accepting the fact.
Yeah, man. Listen, it's okay not to be okay. Do you know what I mean? That's all right. That's part of life.
So,
such a quote, that. That's such a fucking statement, that, man. I like that.
Deep, mate. Listen, Nick's got chickens now, you know. If you need some free eggs or anything
like
that.
If you need any eggs.
Get down to Nick's house. He's got some chickens in.
I'll be at the boozer by Nick's having a little pint with him.
Good lad. Good lad.
Listen, shout, kid. Anytime.
Mate, thanks for jumping on. Thanks. Appreciate you jumping on.
Mate, lovely to see you. Keep smiling.
Stay well. Stay out of bother, and we will see you soon, mate. Take care.
You'll see me Tuesday, and then I'll probably, you know.
Stop telling everybody that you're going to come down Tuesday, right?
We're supposed to be a secret.
Competition here. No, we're not telling anybody who's rocking up.
Sorry. I'm coming.
Tuesday. See you later, lad. Ta-da.
Lovely, mate. See you later. Bye.
Top, man.
There you go. That's what we love on the Black Party. You never know who's going to pop up next, man. But that was a real conversation. And I've known Darren, you know, well over a decade. And to hear him speaking like that, he's hurting there. You know, and that for him to share like that's mental. You know, he never really shows his cards like that. But
he's not the only athlete like that, man. He's not the only athlete that feels like that. But he's not frightened of saying it, you know. Yeah. I wish more people would speak like that because, you know what I mean? I'm sure there's a lot of people suffering in silence with the dark times. They don't have to. So I appreciate him coming on and, listen, it's his platform. So I appreciate him coming on and having a little bit of a crack wheels about it and obviously outing like that. And I've no doubt that next week he'll do him the world of good. And hopefully the 50 competition winners, I'm sure he'll show him the love that everybody's feeling for him. It's taken us off on a tangent, that man. I had so many things to bloody talk about on the show. And then he just rocked up, bumming, whilst he were doing his thing. Anyway, for those that have joined the show late, we've had an action-packed show. We've had some wonderful guests. John Kavanagh was on a little earlier on talking about all things SBG and his fantastic program, Train Alter. We had Kyle Barallo come and join us as well. Darren Till has just been on the program. And, of course, we're running a competition where... if you burn 1,000 block with us, the first 50 people to burn 1,000 block with us get their hands, of course, on an opportunity to be in our live audience next week at UFC London, because this show next week is coming from London. The QR code for the burn wallet is on our screen right now. Mm. We've got to announce, obviously, who's on tomorrow's Discord podcast, haven't we? We haven't told anybody that yet. We alluded to it at the start of the show, but we haven't obviously gone through that.
We talked about him on the show as well at one stage.
Yes, we talked about him on the show. He was a guest on the Block Party last week, live from the airport. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. Bit of a drum roll. Play the VT. Tomorrow's guest on the Discord podcast, Bish Bash Bosh. There he is. The one, the only, future himself, fresh off a fantastic performance in the welterweight division, Ian Machado Gary, will be joining Rusty and the gang tomorrow. So make sure you get stuck into that. That's 7 o'clock British summertime, of course, 2 p.m. Eastern. The Block Asset Discord podcast with Ian Gary. So make sure you get stuck into that. Mate, he could talk for days. Rusty's not going to get a word in. Exactly. It's going to be Ian Gary FM.
Just the Ian Gary show, yeah.
So make sure you get stuck into that as well, because that'll be an absolute blinder.
There's some tokens I'll be buying. I'll tell you that for nothing.
Oh, mate. Woo. Mate. That's some stock that you want to get your, that's some stock that you want to get your blooming hands on. There's no doubt about that. Are we done? Or is there other things that you would like to talk about? Have we covered everything? I'm just dotting the I's and crossing the T's, mate. I know that you're in charge and you are the station master here. Have we done everything that we needed to do?
I think we've done everything we set out to do. If there's anything else, I'm sure we can save it till next week to the live show. But just to push that again, it's going to be something quite special. Next Tuesday, Sky Bar, iconic London location. 50 VIP guests who will all receive an NFT if you are one of the first 50 to buy and burn 1,000 block. It's going to be a magical night. We're going to get right on it after the show. It's going to end in the small hours. So make sure you're staying over in London. It's going to be unreal.
Nick, you're down there doing a full week's work. It's UFC London. It's a big week. This is just part of our working week. You can't just go out on the lash whenever you want
to
go out on the lash.
Start the party hard. That's what I say. UFC London starts Tuesday night with the Block Party. That's for sure.
All right, there you go. Just to finish off the program, I want to remind everybody of Block Now being the easiest crypto to buy. You got Apple Pay, GPay, MasterCard, Visa. Obviously, earlier on in the show, we showed you Laurent Murphy, showing you how easy it is to obviously get your hands on Block Now. We've got a video just to finish the show, which we're going to play in a minute, just to give you a little bit more of an understanding of how easy it is, because we fully appreciate that a lot of people just come to this show for the sport chat. No problem with that whatsoever. But there might be NFT and crypto things that you want to learn about, as we are doing, as we're going along doing this program on a week-by-week basis. So we're going to play a little bit video here to show you literally how easy it is to buy Block. And as we said, if you are burning 1,000 Block, first 50 people will be joining us on the show next week, live, location, beers, bit of food. You kind of know who one of our guests is now because he grasped himself up. So there you go. And the burner wallet is there now on the screen for you. We're done now. So thank you very much for joining us on today's show. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube. Make sure you follow all the social media channels. And more importantly, make sure you join the Discord, of where you'll be able to join in with the Ian Garry podcast tomorrow with Rusty. All right, so make sure you enjoy that. Here's a final video to just remind you how easy it is to buy Block from Block Asset.
You can join some of the world's biggest athletes as a Block holder in three easy steps. Step one, choose your pack. Go to blockasset.co. Scroll down and choose the block pack you'd like to purchase. Step 2. Pay with credit or debit card. Now pay for your block using the credit or debit card. Mobile users can also check out with Apple or Google Pay. Step 3. Export your purchase. After your purchase is complete, view your collection in CrossMint. You can also click the link in your confirmation email. Now you need to export your block to your Phantom wallet. If you don't have a Phantom wallet, you can create one by downloading the app or Chrome plugin. Now you have your wallet, copy your wallet address and paste it into CrossMint. You're all set. Your block tokens will drop into your wallet. Now you're a block holder, we recommend joining our Discord community, with thousands of other Block Asset holders and members discussing all things sport, crypto, and NFTs. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage and click the link.